VOE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The Defense Department has requested that George W. Bush's payroll records from his service in the National Guard be sent to Washington from a DOD archive in Colorado to ascertain whether they can be released to news organizations and public interest groups that have formally requested them in recent days. Bush, in an interview shown Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press, said he would release all his records, including pay stubs, to put to rest suggestions that he may not have fulfilled his duty near the end of his Guard service. The other documents that should still be available are Bush's payroll records, which would show what drills Bush was compensated for during that period. Officials said yesterday that the DOD in Washington would review the master copy of Bush's payroll records, which have been stored on microfiche for 30 years at the Defense Finance and Accounting Service in Denver. George W. Bush's press secretary and a former White House press aide testified on Friday to a federal grand jury investigating who improperly disclosed the identity of a CIA agent. The appearances of the press secretary Scott McClellan and the press aide Adam Levine reflected what lawyers in the case said was the quickening pace of a criminal inquiry in which a special prosecutor is examining conversations between journalists and the White House. One set of documents that prosecutors repeatedly referred to in their meetings with White House aides are extensive notes compiled by Louis Libby, Vice President Dick Cheney's chief of staff and national security advisor. A move by U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft to subpoena the medical records of 40 patients who received so-called partial birth abortions at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago was halted, at least temporarily, when a Chicago federal judge quashed the information request. U.S. Chief District Judge Charles Kokoras denied the government's request to obtain patient medical records from Northwestern, citing the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996 and Illinois Medical Privacy Law. Northwestern received the subpoena in December, a month after obstetrician-gynecologist Cassie Hammond, a member of Northwestern's staff and medical school faculty, was served with subpoenas seeking his patient records. The American Civil Liberties Union is representing the National Abortion Federation, Planned Parenthood, and the Center for Reproductive Rights, which are all filing challenges to the law. More after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
Elko, Nevada police arrested Roger Gray, 25, on the basis of yellow snow he left after relieving himself on the rooftop of a restaurant that had been burglarized. Investigators said the evidence produced enough DNA to link Gray to the scene. He subsequently admitted a jewelry store burglary, police said. He was booked Friday for investigation of burglary. Bail was set at $5,000. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
George Pinocchio Bush was at it again in his latest State of the Union peroration, and his biggest lie was not about weapons of mass destruction. Bush tried in his speech to diffuse the growing anxiety and anger about the loss of middle-class jobs by making the bald-faced assertion that the solution is simple: more job training. Millions of unemployed and underemployed Americans must have stared in slack-jawed disbelief as this son of privilege mouthed the corporate line that everything is okay with our economy if only the workers would get more training and improve their skills. Training for what? Here came George's whopper. Much of our job growth will be found in high-skilled fields. That's a lie, and Bush knows it. Well, okay, he's clueless about real life, so he probably doesn't know it, but his speechwriters do. Bush's own Labor Department reports that of the 30 occupations that will account for the highest job growth between now and 2010, two-thirds require minimal skills. Yes, high-tech companies will create 284,000 more jobs for computer software engineers in that period, but many more jobs than that will be created in each of these very low-tech fields: freight movers, home health aides, janitors, waitresses, security guards, office clerks, and cashiers. The number one job creator for America's future? Restaurant workers, including fast food. You don't need a high-tech degree, you need a hairnet. And all of these jobs pay pitiful wages. By the way, for the past 3 years, Bush has cut the job training budget. And forget about those software engineering jobs. Companies are now shipping them off to India, Russia, and other low-wage countries. This is Jim Hightower saying, training doesn't create jobs, and low-wage jobs don't create a middle class. America needs a living wage, labor law reform, an end to subsidies for corporations that ship our good jobs out, and a president who has a clue.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced tonight, as always, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Now, we are planning to have Dennis Kucinich join us here in the studio, believe it or not, at some point tonight, probably in our second hour, but it may be in the first hour. He did a series of appearances here in Atlanta today. Bookstore, Georgia Tech, and a pub about a block and a half from our studios. And in talking with some of the Kucinich campaign people, Kathy pointed out the obvious: we're a block and a half away, come on by. At first they said no, they had to catch a plane, get out of here, and move on, but Kathy prevailed, and apparently he's going to stop by. We don't know what time, so we just have to wing it. And that's not really set in stone, is it, Kathy? I mean, it's not 100%, or is it?
He'd be here.
Said he'd be here. All right. So stick around for that. A lot of simple Scotty sound bites tonight as he tries to explain Bush's alleged military service based on some recently discovered blurry, fuzzy payroll documents. Two words of the day tonight: documents and records. Which you'll find out when we play those sound bites for you. 13 days of this program left. 13 programs left. So get in here and join us. Did I give the phone number? I don't think I did. 800-TALK-YES. 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Not that this matters, and who cares? Bill O'Reilly has the apparently the biggest audience on... Where is he? On Fox? Which means he has about, 100,000, 200,000 viewers? I have no idea. But anyway, he apologized today. Apparently he was on ABC's Good Morning America, and apologized to viewers for supporting his pre-war claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. His support. He apologized for his support of the Bush crime family's allegations about weapons in Iraq. If you remember, several people sent me emails over the past couple of weeks that O'Reilly had said this at one point, you know, I'll go on national television to apologize. Of course, he makes the apology on ABC because ABC has perhaps 10 times the audience that that Fox has, or maybe 100 times. So anyway, O'Reilly today said he was sorry he gave the U.S. government the benefit of the doubt about Hussein's weapons program that opposed an imminent threat. Apparently, he said, and again, who cares? I mean, I frankly don't give a damn, but, you know, this is, I might as well report it. He said, I was wrong. I'm not pleased about it at all. I think all Americans should be concerned about this. I don't know if he's talking about his apology or the fact that the Bush crime family lied. At one point, O'Reilly, who had promised ABC he would publicly apologize, he looked at the camera and said, what do you want me to do, go over and kiss the camera? I would have loved to have been on that set because I could have suggested something for O'Reilly to kiss right then. But anyway, O'Reilly went on to say he was much more skeptical about the Bush administration now than I guess in the past. He said he didn't think Bush intentionally lied. Rather, this crazy man O'Reilly blamed CIA Director George Tenet and pointed out that he was appointed by former President Bill Clinton. Well, of course. O'Reilly went on to say, according to Reuters, he went on to say, I don't know why Tenet still has his job. Frankly, Bill, I don't know why you have yours. You're a lying blowhard. You're a fake and a phony. But, that's right, you work for Fox. Never mind. And then he added, I think every American should be very concerned for themselves that our intelligence is not as good as it should be. Well, duh, you moron. How's come somebody as bright and intelligent and well-paid and a national media figure like Bill O'Reilly couldn't figure it out, but you knew it? I knew it. Oh, never mind. Again, who cares? Now, regarding that, Scott in Michigan had sent me an email. He said, hi, Mike. A few weeks ago, Mike Savage took out a full page. You know, Mike Savage, the psychopath that was on MSNBC until they fired him. A few weeks ago, Mike Savage took out a full page ad in a major newspaper asking for Bush's impeachment in regard to the new immigration proposal. This past week, the big man, Rush Limbaugh, spoke out similarly on his program. Now, O'Reilly makes a public apology for supporting Bush's lies in regard to weapons of mass destruction. Now, Scott writes, before we get too excited, we must remember that these pundits are only looking out for themselves, which is, of course, what they have always done anyway. Scott writes, now that Bush is losing steam and being caught up in his lies, these same pundits who claim to have won Bush's election, I mean selection, are now distancing themselves from their fearless leader. Why? Not for moral reasons, but to save their own jobs and face, period. Scott closes by saying, I believe the noose is tightening. Anyone for a necktie party? Ooh, watch out, Scott. You'll get a visit by the Homeland Security people here if you're not careful. Necktie party, A couple of emails here from two veterans who are frequent emailers to this program, listeners. This is about the newest Bush scandal. It's not really new. The lies he told about the military. The lies he told, first of all, his cowardice. Which, frankly, wasn't a whole lot different from hundreds of thousands. You know, I guess I should say that. There are hundreds of thousands of young men. I don't want to say cowardice either. There were hundreds of thousands of young men in the 60s who, for whatever reason, decided that Robert McNamara's war in Vietnam was not something they wanted to participate in, that Lyndon Johnson's war in Vietnam and ultimately Richard Nixon's war in Vietnam was not something that they wanted to participate in. And the National Guard was used, reserves were used, fake injuries were used, carbuncles on your ass were used, that's what Limbaugh used, student deferments were used, that's what practically every right-wing Republican who's now in public office used, all sorts of marriage was used, I happen to have been married and had children at the time, so you can say that was used, all sorts of ways were used to avoid the military during the Vietnam era. The problem with George Bush, though, is that he used his family connections, as so often happens in this society, in this country, to leapfrog over other people who were waiting in line to join the Texas Air National Guard. He got his daddy got him in, and then he disrespected that by saying, screw it, and left. So the fact that this man is now president, to me, that makes all the difference in the world. He's the commander-in-chief. Well, Mike, what about Bill Clinton? He never even served. Bill Clinton made it clear what his feelings were about the draft. He then submitted himself to the draft and got a number, apparently, that was so high there was no way to get drafted. One of our veterans, Al, writes in, Mike, Shrub keeps on stating that he got an honorable discharge. That's false. You see, officers don't get honorable discharges. They resign their commissions. Enlisted men get discharges. Once you take the oath as an officer, you're always an officer. Therefore, Shrub is a liar. As far as those records all of a sudden found, I'd like to see them. I'll bet they're as phony as the moron in chief. My first question would be, why did it take so long for you to produce these records, moron? Oh, by the way, any record can be forged, especially if it includes the Shrub family. Have I said today how much I hate these people? No, wait a minute, Al, that's my line. And this is from Mike. He writes in, Mike, Bush acknowledged that he did not volunteer to go to Vietnam on the Tim Russert thing the other day. He said, no, I didn't. You're right. Pressed on his feelings about that war, Bush said, it was a political war. We had politicians making military decisions. Mike writes, help me understand this. If several of my former U.S. Air Force buddies didn't want to serve in Vietnam because it was a political war, they really didn't have to go? No one ever told us that. Mike was in the Air Force, by the way, from 1961 through 1965. Mike goes on. According to a copy of the National Guard document granting him a so-called honorable discharge on October 1, 1973, Bush completed 5 years and 4 months of service, less than the obligatory 6 years before going to Harvard Business School. Bush said he would authorize the release of any documents relating to his Guard service during that period if we still have them, quote, quote. He said the records are kept in Colorado and have already been scoured. But attendance records of the 187th Tactical Reconnaissance Squadron, Alabama, do not show that Bush ever was there. Kenneth Lott, the squadron's personnel officer at the time, told Newsweek magazine, I never saw the man. I never met the man. And from our Arkansas Bureau Chief, Joyce. Hi, Mike. For once, with the exception of one rabid, senile geezer, the White House press corps actually awakened from their long puppy slumber. Wish I'd taped the damn thing. Well, don't worry. We have some sound for you tonight, Joyce. Scotty, the simpleton, made an ass of himself as he stuttered and stammered with one lie after another. Anyone with a brain now knows that Tim Russert's request for pay stubs, etc., was pre-planned by Karl Rove and Company. They already had what they so conveniently produced today. Not pay stubs, but a fuzzy report, confusing the matter even further. This gang of crooks will stop at nothing. Isn't it amazing that the muddled information was located just hours after Russert asked the question he was instructed to ask, especially since they've been supposedly searching for more info for years? Joyce, you sound like a conspiracy theorist. You don't really think that Tim Russert was... All right. We have, see, I'm not sure what to do here, Kathy. We've got all these sound bites, but we think Dennis is going to be here momentarily. Next hour? Okay, well, then we will. You got to stick around and hear this. One of Dennis's people, is that who the woman who just came into the studio? Okay, he'll be here next hour. Oh, he's going to the pub now, and then he'll be here next hour. Okay. All right, well, that sounds great. So we'll get some of the sound in, and then we'll have a chat here in the studio with Dennis Kucinich. Ooh, I can't wait. We forgot our camera. Oh, well.
Five-mile bridge saying, thank you, son. Just folks that sit and judge me, who ain't seen what I've seen or did what I've done. Didn't I burn? Didn't I bleed? Even
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica.
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today?
Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, in about 45 minutes, I guess, Dennis Kucinich will be in the studio. This studio. From MoveOn.org, they put out a press release today about Bush's unqualified promise on Meet the Press last Sunday to release all his documents, and he has not yet signed a release for tax records and military, medical, and disciplinary records. Gee, I wonder why. MoveOn says responses to Freedom of Information Act requests in the year 2000 stated that some of the records were held back. So when you hear Scotty McClellan in the sound bites we're going to play for you in a few minutes talk about, oh, this was all released in 2000, he's a liar. But Scott McClellan is a liar. We understand that. That's what makes him weirdly entertaining. He is a liar. Before medical, disciplinary, and whatever additional personnel records can be released, too stupid to be president must authorize the military to release those records that are covered by the Privacy Act, or as they say in Britain, Privacy Act. Asked by Tim Russert on Sunday, what would you authorize the release of everything to settle this and anything to show that you were serving during that period? Bush answered without qualification, yes, absolutely. Now, instead, certainly, I mean, Bush is stupid. He's a dry drunk. He's an ex-coke user, which I guess there are millions of people like that. But he'll say anything. He's also a liar. Instead of releasing everything, the Bush crime family released annual pension point summaries and pay records. That's what Scott McClellan was holding up for everybody to look at today. These apparently show Bush had intermittently attended meetings and been paid, which was never in dispute, but with gaps of several months left unanswered. And David, who's the guy from NBC, Kathy, that asked the real hard questions they wouldn't let up? David Gregory. That's one of the points that he hammered and hammered and hammered. Plus, many of the documents, if you watch any of this today, many of these documents that were shown to reporters were unreadable. And even though other presidential candidates, you've noticed this, who served in the military, surround themselves with their companions from their days in the military, no one has yet come forward saying he served in the Air National Guard with Bush in Alabama during 1972. Scott McClellan, the little wimp who speaks for Bush, said that the existence of pay records proves that Bush showed up for duty. McClellan says you're paid for the date you serve. Oh, hog snot. I don't know what he thinks. Maybe he thinks, like himself, the reporters sitting there in the press room don't understand anything about the military. Columnist Richard Cohen, writing today's Washington Post, said that, like Bush, he joined the National Guard to avoid service during the Vietnam War, service overseas. And also like Bush, Richard Cohen wrote, he failed to participate fully. Cohen wrote today in the Post, for 2 years or so, I played a perfectly legal form of hooky. To show you what a mess the Guard was in at the time, I even got paid for all the meetings I missed. End quote. You know, somebody said, well, Nixon was the sine qua non where it concerns the statement, it's not the lie, it's the attempt to cover up the lie that gets him every time, right? Sine qua non? I forget my Latin, Kathy. Sine? No, sine. Every time I try to sound intelligent, I screw it up. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Breaks my heart, oh, sore. And if ever I'm out on the prickly bush, I'm never getting it anymore. Oh, the prickly bush breaks my heart, oh, sore. And if ever I'm out on the prickly bush, I'm never getting it anymore. Oh, the prickly bush breaks my heart, oh, sore. And if ever I'm out on the prickly bush, I'm never getting it anymore. Oh, the prickly bush.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
People often underestimate the power of nature. That mistake can cost them their lives. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. An avalanche, a rushing river, and an ocean rip current have this much in common. They're among the forces of nature that people often underestimate. That can mean serious injury or death during outdoor recreation activities. Lawrence Gonzalez is the author of a new book called Deep Survival: Who Lives, Who Dies, and Why.
One of the things that I've learned in researching deep survival is we don't really learn things that we don't have direct physical experience of. The abstract learning that we get, even if somebody tells you, hey, don't go over there, that's dangerous, you may go over there because you've never actually experienced the force.
Gonzalez says it's a common mistake, one that leads us to underestimate the energy of natural systems.
A typical example of this is kids come to a stream, decide to wade across it, and they just don't appreciate how heavy and powerful water is. And they get in water that should be, they think, wadeable, up to their knees maybe, and they're swept away. We just really don't appreciate how powerful some of these natural forces can be.
Gonzalez says people not only misjudge the forces of nature, they overestimate their own abilities.
An avalanche is a good example. Lots of skiers say that they could outrun an avalanche, and they're wrong. An avalanche can travel at as much as 150 miles an hour.
Deep Survival describes a variety of outdoor accidents where miscalculation cost people their lives. Gonzalez says it's important to accurately assess the forces you'll encounter during any kind of expedition, and he says you should also be humble and accept that nature is more powerful than you. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Dennis Kucinich will join us here in the studio here in about 45 minutes, I guess. Bush's commanders have said that he did not appear for duty at bases during the period of autumn 72 and spring of 73. The personnel records that have been released show Bush's guard service between May 72 and May 73. And he's recorded as having served the minimum number of days expected of guard members. Dan Bartlett, the White House communications director, said the listing of service dates, which the White House was to make a public today, documents the president's claim to have fulfilled his military obligation. But the documents seem unlikely. This is from the Australian Press. The documents seem unlikely to resolve questions about whether Bush shirked his duty during his tour as a fighter interceptor pilot for the Texas Air National Guard. That's because some of the dates on the service list fell during a period of 1972 when Bush was assigned to a guard unit in Alabama. The commander of the Alabama unit has said he did not appear for duty. White House spokesman Bartlett said the guard drills Mr. Bush is listed as attending were probably conducted at Mr. Bush's home base in Houston. But Bush's two commanders at Ellington Air Force Base in Houston wrote that they could not evaluate his performance for the previous 12 months because he'd not been there. Two others said 4 years ago they did not believe he ever returned to his base from Alabama. So the lies just continue, right? I mean, they're just flying so thick. Who'd have thought that it was sex that got Clinton in trouble, and it's the military that's going to bring Bush down? Oh, well. Simple Scotty McClellan, the briefing today. The press corps, I have to say, they really hammered McClellan today about the blurry, smeared military records that the White House just uncovered yesterday. First question. Now, there's some interrupting here, so try to catch it. First question. Scott, a couple of questions. I have the records that you handed out yesterday, out today, and other records that exist, indicate that the president did not perform any guard duty during the months of December 72, February or March of 73. I'm wondering if you can tell us where he was during that period. And also, how is it that he managed to not make the medical requirements to remain on active flight duty status?
First of all, we were pleased to be able to provide you all with these additional records that just recently came to our attention. These documents clearly show that the president fulfilled his duties. The records that you're pointing to, these records, are the payroll records. They're the point summaries.
That's not the question.
These records verify that he met the requirements necessary to fulfill his duties. These records, these payroll records, reflect...
Did you know it wasn't my question? Where was in December of 72, February and March of 73, and why did he not fulfill the medical requirements to remain on active flight duty status?
These records I'm holding here clearly document the president fulfilling his duties in the National Guard. The president was proud of his service.
I don't know how some of these reporters can restrain themselves from just stepping up to Scott McClellan and just slapping him across his face. It must be very frustrating. After Simple Scotty said that the White House had turned over all the facts, another reporter says, Scott, I want to know the facts, which is why I keep asking the question. And I'll ask it one more time. Where was he in December of 72, February and March of 73? Why didn't he fulfill the medical requirements to remain on active flight duty status in 72?
The president recalls serving both when he was in Texas and when he was in Alabama.
The president
and
recalls.
That is what I can tell you. And we have provided you these documents that show clearly that the president of the United States fulfilled his duties. The president spent some of that time in Texas. He was a member of the Texas Air National Guard. And he was given permission on a temporary basis to perform equivalent duty while he was in Alabama, and he performed that duty. And the payroll records that I think are very important for the public to have clearly reflect that he served.
No, if they were legible, they might reflect that he was paid, but that doesn't mean anything. But I like the way he begins his answer to this. The president recalls serving both when he was in Texas and when he was in Alabama. That's how Scott McClellan avoids a subpoena at some point in hopefully not too distant future when he's required to testify as to why he lied. He'll say, well, I didn't lie. I said, you know, just like a good lawyer when you're defending somebody who's obviously guilty of murder, the lawyer will say, my client insists on his innocence. The reporter now wants to know why no veteran has come forth to brag, I served with the future president. The reporter says, Scott, when Senator Kerry goes around campaigning, there's frequently what they call a band of brothers, a bunch of soldiers who served with him, who come forward and give testimonials for him. I see in looking at our files in the campaign of 2000, it said that you were looking for people who served with him to verify his account of service in the National Guard. Back then. Has the White House been able to find, like Senator Kerry, a band of brothers or others who can testify about the president's service?
All the information that we have, we shared with you in 2000 that was relevant to this issue.
But
all the additional information that has come to our attention, we have shared with you. The president was asked about this in his interview over the weekend, and the president made it clear.
But,
yes, I want all records to be made available that are relevant to this issue. That there are some out there that were making outrageous, baseless accusations.
It's a shame.
It was a shame that they brought it up 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a shame that they brought it up again this year.
Well, you may think it's a shame, Scotty, but some people in this country may think it's a shame that George W. Bush used his family connections to jump over a line of 50 or 60 other people who were trying to get in Texas Air National Guard to save his precious powdered ass and not have to go to Vietnam. Maybe some people would think that's a shame, Scotty. Huh? Maybe, you think? Of course, you didn't answer the question. Of course, you very seldom do. Of course, that's what you're paid to do. Now, since stupid McClellan would answer that last question, the same reporter tries again. He says, actually, I wasn't talking about documents. I was talking about people, you know, comrades in arms. You said you were looking for people, and I take it you didn't find any.
I mean, obviously, we would have made people available. Mr. Lloyd, who has provided a statement to put some of this into context for everybody, made some public statements during that time period to verify the records that the president had fulfilled his duties.
Now, who's Mr. Lloyd? Is that old guy we saw on television? He's a former National Guard payroll clerk from somewhere who supposedly verified Bush's military record. Keep in mind, this was this Mr. Lloyd dude never served with Bush or knew him during the 70s. He was some retired payroll clerk or some. I have no idea. So once again, McClellan ignores the question. Reporters now begin to ask about the poor quality of the records. The blurry, impossible to read, impossible to interpret. Reporters say, Scott, these are very hard to read, these payroll documents. Are you saying that every date listed on, for example, document 5 here, is a day that the president was actually, you know, showed up? He was suited up? He was flying planes? Is that what this means? Because there are, you know, points for active duty, points for inactive duty. What exactly are these?
People asked for records to be released that would demonstrate he met his requirements. The records have now been fully released. The facts are clear.
You can't read them. Have you looked at these? I mean, you can't. How are we supposed to read these?
Well, I think you can talk. One, we put it out in email. It's a lot easier to read, I think, on the email version, because that was we're going to if we haven't already.
The reporter says, oh, you put it on our email? Oh, well, there's a verifiable document. Email. Jesus. Another reporter asked if Bush will request from the Internal Revenue Service his tax returns for 72 and 73 to verify these unreadable, blurry, just-found records. The reporter says, Scott, to corroborate these records, will the president do two things? One, will he authorize the relevant defense agency in Colorado to release actual pay stubs? And if those don't exist, will the president file a form, as he can do at the IRS, to at least look for a 72 or 73 tax return that would corroborate what you claim are payroll summaries that he actually got paid for his duty?
It is my understanding this is the information that is available from his payroll records, and it shows the days on which he was paid. So that's the information that I understand is available. In terms of tax returns, I mean, the president, like most Americans, does not have his tax returns from some 30 years ago.
The question, dimwit, was would he request them from the IRS? Oh, he doesn't have his tax returns from 30 years ago? Oh, well, damn and double damn. That's not the question. Oh, that's right. You're Scott McClellan. You are supposed to lie. Okay. Another reporter asked about the dates on document 5 of the blurry records. Reporter says, Scott, can you just clarify, back to the question here on this document 5. For example, in February and March of 73, there are no dates that appear, meaning that he didn't show up then or what?
Well, look, I mean, you know, we're talking about 30 years ago again, and these documents show the days on which he was paid, which means those are the days on which you serve. So,
does that mean then that he...
I don't have an hour-by-hour itemization of everything he was doing 30 years ago.
Yeah, little snot.
Are you able to make out any of the paid amounts? How much did he get? I can't read the letters.
And again, I mean, this is going to be put out in the email version as well, and you're welcome. Welcome to contact the Personnel Center. I'm sure that they will be glad to help you as well.
Little snot. Roger, I'm sorry. I don't have an hour-by-hour itemization of everything he was doing 30 years ago. That's good, Scott. Scott the snot. That's good, Scott. Trying to be Ari Fleischer. Now, in this one, it seems that Simple Scotty just admitted that these records don't prove Bush served. Listen to this. A reporter says, it's your position, then, that these documents specifically show that he served in Alabama during the period of 1972 when he was supposed to be there? Do they specifically show that, Scott? Just because he's paid doesn't mean that he served and worked there, does it?
No, I think if you look at the documents, what they show are the days on which he was paid, the payroll records. And we previously said that the president recalls serving both in Alabama and in Texas.
I'm not interested in what he recalls. I'm interested in whether these documents specifically show that he was in Alabama and served on the days during the latter part of 1972.
And I just answered that question.
You have not answered that question.
No, I said no in response to your question, Keith.
No. So the answer is no.
I said these documents show the days on which he was paid. That's what they show.
But that doesn't mean anything, you simpleton. Oh, thank God I'm not part of the Washington Press Corps. Oh, my God, Kathy, how long would I last? One press briefing until they locked me up for the next 10 years? Yeah. Reporter named April wants to ask, Scott, you keep saying that this is a shame, that this is out in the public, and you're talking partisan politics. But don't you think the American public as well, particularly the U.S. military, which has been tested, being tested right now with the facts that they went to war on faulty intelligence, possibly, and now finding out that their commander-in-chief, possibly, tried to avoid going to the Vietnam War? Don't you think that the American public, Scott, is owed a little bit more than photocopies of things we can't see? Don't you think the military is owed a little bit more than just, he served?
We have previously said, going back to the 2000 campaign and even before that, that he recalls performing his duties both in Alabama and in Texas during the time period that some have questioned. So let's be very clear about that. Let's be very clear about the facts, because the American people should have the facts. And the facts are right here in these documents.
which you can't read, which nobody can read. Ah, but they'll be in your email. Yeah, we'll fix them up for you. Damn! Remember how these thugs, these right-wingers, remember how they just went berserk about the missing records from the Whitewater land deal? Do you remember? Oh, my God, there was proof that Bill Clinton was a communist alien from Martian who did nothing but rape children and do drug deals and kill people in Arkansas. Remember? Oh, God. Last two questions on the contradictions between the blurry records and what Bush's commanding officers remember about his alleged service. Reporter says, Scott, there seems to be a discrepancy now in the president's record that I wonder if you could help me with. These documents that you're holding up show that the president showed up for duty in October, November 72, January, April, May of 73. But the president's officer effectiveness report, filed by his commanders, Lieutenants Colonel Killian and Harris, both now deceased, for the period 1 May 72 to 30 April 73, says he has not been observed at this unit where he was supposed to show up and earning these points on these days. The President, Scott, said he returned to Texas in November 72. So some of these dates of service, which are in these records, ought to have been noted by his commanding officers, who, nevertheless, said twice he was not observed there. Can you explain that, Scott?
Yeah, I'm not sure about these specific documents. I'll be glad to take a look at them. But these documents show the days on which he was paid for his service. And the president, as I've said, and we previously said during the 2000 campaign, recall serving both in Texas and in Alabama during the time period you were bringing up.
So he served, but his commanding officers didn't know it.
Again, I don't know the specific documents you're referring to. If you want to bring those to me, I'll be glad to take a look at them and get you the answers to your questions.
And the president, as I've said, and we previously said during the 2000 campaign, recalls serving both in Texas and Alabama. How would he recall it 30 years ago when he was a coked up junkie and a drunk? Finally, another reporter asked about the same. Well, we don't have time. We'll wait and we'll do this last one as soon as we come back from this break. Isn't this fun? Don't you like hearing this stuff?
Some folks are born, make a wave to play.
See you. fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, two for and you.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
personal responsibility for everything I say, of course. Absolutely.
Five before the hour. Okay, last one. Finally, another reporter asked about the same contradiction. The reporter said, I just want to ask a question about a contradiction and a question about a specific record. After all of the things you repeated here, Scott, you cannot explain this contradiction. The fact that his payroll records indicate he was paid for a period of time for fulfilling service, and yet his commanding officers at that time wrote that he was not observed. Can you or can you not explain that contradiction?
No, if you're talking about the question that Terry brought up, I said I would be glad to go back and look at the document that he's referencing. I have not. I've not seen the document he's referencing.
Repeatedly for years.
You're talking about quotes. You're talking about quotes from individuals, and we've said for years, going back 4 years ago, that the president recalls serving and performing his duties.
His commanders do not recall it, and in fact, they say that he was not observed.
Yeah, I've seen some different comments. I've seen some different comments made over the recent time period.
Comments from Brigadier General Turnipsey, not from his Ellington commanders, who said he was not observed. Can you explain the contradiction?
Look, I can't speak for those individuals. I can speak for the President of the United States.
Yeah, you sure do. Now, the fact is, and who sent this in to me? I don't know who sent it. But the statement of points earned, that little blurry thing, it says ARF statement of points earned, First Lieutenant George Bush. First Lieutenant Bush, George W., and it's an ARF statement, ARF statement of points earned. ARF, so what's ARF? ARF is the reserves. Among other things, it's where members of the Guard are sent for disciplinary reasons. Now, we all know Bush failed to show up for his annual physical in July of 72. He was suspended in August, and the suspension was recorded on September 29th, 1972. So he was apparently transferred to ARF at that time and began accumulating ARF points in October. ARF is a paper unit based in Denver that requires no drills, no attendance. For active Guard members, it's disciplinary because ARF members can theoretically be called up for active duty in the regular military, although this obviously never happened to George Bush. Oh, God. I wonder why the crack White House press corps, somebody, doesn't bring that up. Well, there's a reason. That's because none of them could really sing. And if they can't, they ought to hire somebody who has been in the military who can explain it to them.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Lawrence Silberman, a retired judge nominated by the Bush administration as the co-defendant on Iraq, was involved in a major cover-up during the Reagan era, his critics alleged yesterday. Mr. Silberman sat on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court of Review, which approved the expanded surveillance powers for the Justice Department under the controversial Patriot Act. George W. Bush named him as the senior Republican on a 9-member bipartisan commission examining how and why U.S. intelligence had been so wrong about Saddam Hussein's alleged weapons of mass destruction. It will report next spring, well after the November elections. The Defense Department has requested that George W. Bush's payroll records from his service in the National Guard be sent to Washington from a DOD archive in Colorado to ascertain whether they can be released to news organizations and public interest groups that have formally requested them in recent days. Bush, in an interview shown Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press, said he would release all his records, including pay stubs, to put to rest suggestions that he may not have fulfilled his duty near the end of his Guard service. The other documents that should still be available are Bush's payroll records, which would show what drills Bush was compensated for during that period. Officials said yesterday that the DOD in Washington would review the master copy of Bush's payroll records, which have been stored on microfiche for 30 years at the Defense Finance and Accounting Service in Denver. George W. Bush's press secretary and a former White House press aide testified on Friday to a federal grand jury investigating who improperly disclosed the identity of a CIA agent. The appearances of the press secretary Scott McClellan and the press aide Adam Levine reflected what lawyers in the case said was the quickening pace of a criminal inquiry in which a special prosecutor is examining conversations between journalists and the White House. One set of documents that prosecutors repeatedly referred to in their meetings with White House aides are extensive notes compiled by Louis Libby, Vice President Dick Cheney's chief of staff and national security advisor. More after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country, with a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities. It's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
The WhiteHouse.com website is getting out of the pornography business. Its owner says he's worried what his preschool-age son might think. The owner said he doesn't know yet how much the sale will fetch. He claimed the WhiteHouse.com site, which advertises pictures of hot interns, earns more than $1 million each year in revenues and said he's invested more than $7 million since 1997. The site currently features a picture of Democratic frontrunner John Kerry with the message, "Our candidates are better looking." For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
George Pinocchio Bush was at it again in his latest State of the Union peroration, and his biggest lie was not about weapons of mass destruction. Bush tried in his speech to diffuse the growing anxiety and anger about the loss of middle-class jobs by making the bald-faced assertion that the solution is simple: more job training. Millions of unemployed and underemployed Americans must have stared in slack-jawed disbelief as this son of privilege mouthed the corporate line that everything is okay with our economy if only the workers would get more training and improve their skills. Training for what? Here came George's whopper. Much of our job growth will be found in high-skilled fields. That's a lie, and Bush knows it. Well, okay, he's clueless about real life, so he probably doesn't know it, but his speechwriters do. Bush's own Labor Department reports that of the 30 occupations that will account for the highest job growth between now and 2010, two-thirds require minimal skills. Yes, high-tech companies will create 284,000 more jobs for computer software engineers in that period. But many more jobs than that will be created in each of these very low-tech fields. Freight movers, home health aides, janitors, waitresses, security guards, office clerks, and cashiers. The number one job creator for America's future? Restaurant workers, including fast food. You don't need a high-tech degree. You need a hairnet. And all of these jobs pay pitiful wages. By the way, for the past 3 years, Bush has cut the job training budget. And forget about those software engineering jobs. Companies are now shipping them off to India, Russia, and other low-wage countries. This is Jim Hightower saying, training doesn't create jobs, and low-wage jobs don't create a middle class. America needs a living wage, labor law reform, an end to subsidies for corporations that ship our good jobs out, and a president who has a clue.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. All right, you had enough of Bush and his phony military record? Huh? Had enough? Lion bastard. Oh, my God. I'm talking about Scott McClellan. Bush is just a punk. That's all. Just a punk. Editorial in the Niagara Falls Reporter today I want to share with you, and then on to your phone calls, as we anticipate soon the arrival of Dennis Kucinich, who is in Atlanta. Our primary is March 5th, I believe, and he was in Atlanta today, first at Bookstore in Midtown, then at Georgia Tech for a talk, and then a pub nearby the studio, actually about a block and a half from our studio. And Kathy had talked to some of his people and said, look, we're very close. Why don't you come on by? So they're going to. But first I want to share with you this thing from Niagara Falls Reporter. It says, when President George W. Bush's approval rating slipped to its lowest point since the Supreme Court installed him, he decided he better take some drastic action. Actually, it was Bush's Svengali Karl Rove who decided that Bush should take some drastic action, so he booked him on the Sunday morning chat show Meet the Press. Now, when you go on Meet the Press, you don't literally meet the press. You meet Tim Russert, an affable former blue-collar guy from Buffalo, New York. During the Clinton administration, Russert gained the reputation of being a tough interviewer by beating up on the likes of milquetoast Democratic operative Lanny Davis on crucial issues central to our democracy. Issues such as whether or not the president inhaled when smoking reefer as a college student, or if indeed he had an affair with Jennifer Flowers while serving as governor of Arkansas. Then there was the blue dress of Monica Lewinsky, which Russert maintained the Clinton presidency could not survive. This past Sunday, however, we saw a different Tim Russert. The one who's employed by NBC, which is owned by General Electric, one of America's largest defense contractors. The one who has allowed Vice President Dick Cheney to use his program as a propaganda vehicle on no fewer than 10 occasions over the past 3 years. Like a batting practice pitcher in spring training, Russert lobbed softball after softball, rarely following up. The astonishing was that Bush couldn't manage to hit a single one out of the park. When Bush said, with a straight face, that it didn't matter that Saddam Hussein had no weapons of mass destruction, and that the deaths of 531 American servicemen and women, 99 Allied soldiers, and 10,000 Iraqis was justified because Saddam thought about having weapons of mass destruction, Russert gave him a pass. And while the substance abuse problems of presidential brothers Billy Carter and Roger Clinton provided fodder for many a Sunday morning chat show, the recent divorce court testimony by Neil Bush that he picked up a venereal disease from a Chinese prostitute didn't rate a mention. So, hometown Buffalo's own Tim Russert is a shill. He likes beating up on the weak and wounded while serving his corporate masters and living a jet-set lifestyle. Maybe if there was a blue dress in George W. Bush's closet, but no. Who would want to have sex with him? Falls reporter from today, I believe. Was it today? Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
All right. Nobody wants to talk? All right. I thought we had all kinds of phone calls. What, we got all those phone calls. What, we're not streaming on the internet? Is that it? What? Open your mic. Oh, Sirius Satellite Radio is playing a basketball. Oh, okay. Well, too bad, guys. Sorry. What else we got here? See, I hate to get into this. Well, these two panels, these two commissions that are working, first of all, you know how Bush and what's his name, Scott McClellan, keep saying, oh, yeah, we'll certainly cooperate. We'll do everything we can cooperate. Members of this independent commission that are investigating 9-1-1 terrorist attacks warned the White House yesterday, according to the New York Times, that the White House could face a politically damaging subpoena this week if it refuses to turn over information from those Oval Office intelligence reports given to Bush before 9-1-1. Isn't it amazing that this rat bastard will not, and nobody, not Cheney, not Bush, none of these killers want to reveal their... Well, listen, that's not amazing. What's wrong with you, Malloy? Of course, a criminal doesn't want to produce incriminating evidence. I'm sorry, lost my head there for a minute, huh? A spokesman for this 9-1-1 panel... Well, actually, the chairman, Thomas Keene, the Republican former governor of New Jersey, said through a spokesman that he was hopeful an agreement could be worked out so they don't have to issue a subpoena. Responding to earlier threats of a subpoena, the White House agreed last year to allow three members, remember this, of the 10-member commission and the panel's Republican staff director to take a look at portions of those daily briefings. But they cut a deal, and that was that the four people who were allowed to look at these daily briefings and take notes, the notes had to stay in the White House. And they can't share those notes with the full commission. These are evil people. These are killers. These are people, Bush, Cheney, the rest of this White House crew, that is deeply involved, up to their necks, in what happened in this country on September 11, 2001. You know it by now. I know it by now. Just like we knew that Bush was a draft dodger who went AWOL. And it's all coming out now. I just hope to God I'm alive. You know, I hope you're alive when the truth of this administration finally comes out. It may take 10 years. This is why I said that. One of the Democrats on this panel, Tim Romer, a former congressman from Indiana, said, I'm determined to resolve this with a subpoena vote. We need to get access to Bush's notes. There needs to be full information to all 10 of us commissioners. So far, the White House has vetoed that. Oh, well, Congressman Romer, you haven't been paying attention. George Bush and his front man, Scott McClellan, have said over and over and over again that they're cooperating fully. Another Democrat on the panel, Richard Benveniste, some of you who are my age remember him. He's one of the former Watergate prosecutors. He said he would be prepared to support the subpoena. Benveniste said yesterday this thing has dragged on for months. And he's tired of the repeated statements from the White House that it intends to cooperate fully with the commission. Yeah, they'll cooperate as soon as they find those weapons of mass destruction. Now, the other commission, the one investigating the Intel failure, which is a joke. There was no intelligence failure. There was no intelligence. Yes, we spend billions for intelligence that's no damn good, but there was no intelligence failure. There was administration failure. But let's play along. Bush has said, when he was questioned by Tim Russert the other day, would he appear before this intelligence commission and talk with them? I think it was that commission. And he said he would be happy to meet with them, whatever that means. Well, Marcia in Reston, Virginia emailed on, just imagine if Bill Clinton had agreed to meet with the Paula Jones attorneys. They would have had a very hard time impeaching him for perjury since he wouldn't have been under oath. Why didn't Bill Clinton think of that? Can you freaking imagine, she writes, if any of this crap had occurred during Clinton's administration, that these right-wing freaks would have stormed the People's House and strung Bill up? And if Al Gore had previously been a CEO for a company that cleaned up while he was VP, oh my God, can you imagine the outcry? Where is the outrage, Marcia asks, and she answers her own question. Inside all of us, I'm afraid. Well, yeah. Well, the 911 Commission, I'm sorry, the Intel Commission, the Intelligence Commission.
Why did all the intelligence fail where it concerned the Iraq story?
Well, Bush's choice to co-chair this commission, we mentioned this the other night, He's a longtime right-wing political activist, closely tied to this neoconservative, neo-Nazi network that led the pro-war propaganda campaign in this country. Lawrence Silberman. He's going to share the chairmanship with former Virginia Democratic Senator Charles Robb, who also has history in covert operations. But Silberman, who's a federal appeals court judge, he only got his judgeship. That was a payoff. In 1980, Lawrence Silberman served as part of former Republican President Ronald Reagan's senior campaign staff. And in 1980, he, Silberman, played a key role in setting up secret contacts between the Reagan-Bush campaign and the Islamic government in Tehran in what became known as the October Surprise controversy. Remember that? That was the agreement to withhold the release of the American hostages until after the election. Vote for Reagan, they were told, and you'll get a better deal from us. We'll provide you weapons. We'll do all kinds of things. These evil, treasonous bastards did this in 1980. Now, I know for some people, 1980, Mike, dear God, that's 25 years ago almost. That's who Silberman is. Now, he got rewarded with this appeals court judgeship several years later. During the 90s, Silberman, according to Interpress Service, helped advise right-wing activists on strategies for going after Bill Clinton. Now, do you remember the book Blinded by the Right, David Brock's book? You know, Brock had a conversion, and if you didn't read Blinded by the Right, you should. David Brock says that this Lawrence Silberman is a major player in the far right-wing network that harassed Bill and Hillary Clinton during the 90s. Brock says Silberman was his mentor. Brock says that Silberman told him that many of the attacks on Democrats were based on no evidence. Brock wrote, quote, a consummate Washington insider for more than two decades, Silberman would often preface his advice to me with the wry demur that judges shouldn't get involved in politics.
That would be improper, he'd say, and then he'd go ahead and get involved.
Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Ashcroft, Powell, Rice, Ridge, and Rumsfeld. Lurking spiders in the devil's web. Are you trying to earn your special place in hell? You spin your yarn from some worn-out Gallup poll, while Cheney's getting his ass sued by the GAO. Hey, George, get that dick under control. or you'll be getting screwed just like everyone else.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiotitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware. John Seip from United Marketing Force. Jay Brentlinger from Orban. And, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show. Take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years. So join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
So the co-chair of this panel that's been put together, this commission to find out why the intelligence on Iraq was such a failure. Oh, God. The co-chair is Lawrence Silberman, a real thug, a real murderer. He's an appellate court judge now. He's also reportedly been known as aggressive and sometimes abusive, even in his written opinions. He once accused President Clinton of, quote, declaring war on the United States, unquote, because Clinton permitted his aides to, say things about Kenneth Starr in the Whitewater case. Now, but Silverman's role in the 1980 election, you can make the case that Jimmy Carter would have been reelected for another 4 years had it not been for the so-called October surprise. And as anyone who studied that period understands, Reagan sent George Pappy Bush and some of these other thugs to Europe and to the Middle East to cut a deal. And the deal was cut. And as a result, Ronald Reagan was elected and Jimmy Carter was defeated. And this is a guy who now is the co-chair of this commission investigating the failure of intelligence where it concerned the war in Iraq. Oh, my God, I just looked up, and there is Dennis Kucinich. Come on in. Let us get the congressman seated. We'll have about 2 minutes, and we'll have a break, for God's sake. Mr. Congressman, thank you very much for being here.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Let me turn on a microphone for you. Sit right here. This is going to be real crowded. You can put these headphones on. And we'll put that up. There you go. Slip those on. We'll leave the door open. If you're just tuning in, Congressman Dennis Kucinich and the person I'm backing for the Democratic nomination for the President of the United States just joined us. Can I call you Dennis?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm pretty informal.
Can we get some more volume here, Kathy? Where did my producer go? Can we get a little more volume on Dennis's? There we go. You just came from Eddie's Attic, I believe, right?
I did. We had a nice little gathering at Eddie's Attic and a community discussion.
And earlier today, you were at Georgia Tech.
Yes.
And how did that go?
Great. Oh, we had a nice turnout.
All right, I told a few people that you were going to be on the program tonight, and I got some questions in very quickly from folks who are very interested in your candidacy and would like to see you as the next president. And I know you've probably had a long day, so let's see if we can get a couple of these in. This emailer says, Dennis is a promoter of pre-K education as well as paid college tuition. My question is, what does it matter to have a good education if you have to move to India to get the job? What do you plan to do, Mr. Congressman, specifically to get jobs back and keep them here? And more importantly than the quantity of jobs is the quality of jobs. That's a good question.
First of all, we have to recognize that America's lost 3 million manufacturing jobs since July of the year 2000. And now we're losing tens of thousands of high-tech jobs. And the manner in which jobs are flowing out of this country is facilitated by trade agreements, which were structured by global corporations to ensure there would be no impediments towards demolishing industries in the United States and moving them abroad. When NAFTA and the WTO were passed in 93 and 94, they provided there would be no restrictions with respect to workers' rights, human rights, and environmental quality principles.
Can I get you to hold it right there? No restrictions regarding those critical issues. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that does clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
People often underestimate the power of nature. That mistake can cost them their lives. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. An avalanche, a rushing river, and an ocean rip current have this much in common. They're among the forces of nature that people often underestimate. That can mean serious injury or death during outdoor recreation activities. Lawrence Gonzalez is the author of a new book called Deep Survival: Who Lives, Who Dies, and Why.
One of the things that I've learned in researching deep survival is we don't really learn things that we don't have direct physical experience of. The abstract learning that we get, even if somebody tells you, hey, don't go over there, that's dangerous, you may go over there because you've never actually experienced the force.
Gonzalez says it's a common mistake, one that leads us to underestimate the energy of natural systems.
A typical example of this is kids come to a stream, decide to wade across it, and they just don't appreciate how heavy and powerful water is. And they get in water that should be, they think, wadeable, up to their knees maybe, and they're swept away. We just really don't appreciate how powerful some of these natural forces can be.
Gonzalez says people not only misjudge the forces of nature, they overestimate their own abilities.
An avalanche is a good example. Lots of skiers say that they could outrun an avalanche, and they're wrong. An avalanche can travel at as much as 150 miles an hour.
Deep Survival describes a variety of outdoor accidents where miscalculation cost people their lives. Gonzalez says it's important to accurately assess the forces you'll encounter during any kind of expedition, and he says you should also be humble and accept that nature is more powerful than you. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. We are talking in the studio tonight with Dennis Kucinich, who is in Atlanta for a series of appointments and was gracious enough to come by the studio. All right, we were right at the point. The listener in Orlando, Mike, who wanted to know how you're going to bring back quality jobs. And you're talking about NAFTA.
I was talking about how NAFTA and the WTO were written specifically so corporations could move jobs out of this country and go to low-wage places where they pay people next to nothing, but make things in the other countries and ship them back here and sell them at a premium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole corp global trade has worked against America and American workers. What I intend to do as president in my first act in office to cancel NAFTA and the WTO and go back to trading nation to nation based on those nations having rights for their workers, right to collective bargaining, right to organize, right to strike, right to decent wages and benefits, right to a safe workplace and other rights, having prohibitions against human rights abuses, prohibitions against child labor, slave labor, and prison labor, and having protections for the environment. Because then, if you're protecting the environment, you're protecting human rights, you're protecting workers' rights, corporations can't make money off of limiting them. And so that way we can help protect jobs here in America. And I intend, Mike, to make the maintenance of our steel, automotive, aerospace, shipping, textiles, and high tech part of our national economic security strategy. So we're going to stay in business of making things. And we'll go back into business and making things. Because we're consuming them. Why shouldn't we make them?
That's true. Do you think, though, that as president, you could do that? First of all, you know, this globalization thing has been building for about 30 years, and it was finally brought into effect, like you pointed out, in 92 and 93. How are you going to, in a sense, dismantle something that every trading country seems to be involved or wanting to keep?
Well, first, keep in mind that everyone wants access to American markets. It was that way before 93, 94. Before NAFTA and the WTO, America was trading. Today, because of NAFTA and the WTO, we have a $550 billion trade deficit.
Mm-hmm.
The trade deficit is going to wreck this country. It's not only what it represents in terms of lost jobs, but what it represents in terms of the burgeoning American illiquidity. And so my presidency will be about fortifying our economy with making sure we have an industrial base, but you can't do that unless you cancel NAFTA and the WTO, which, by the way, the president has the right to do. You have to cancel NAFTA and the WTO because if you put up any rules,
right,
so
exactly.
if they're going to be illegal and you can't even defend yourself, then why have these agreements? I mean, it just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone's still going to want to trade with America, but then we get to set the terms again. Why should we let terms be set by global corporations who have no allegiance to the United States, have no allegiance to workers' rights or human rights or the environment, who make money off of human misery?
Yeah, according to Mussolini, that's a good definition of global fascism. All right, let's see if we can get some calls in here very quickly. I hope this works. Brian is calling from Manchester, New Hampshire. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Representative. I'd like to say I'm a former Marine and all that, but I know that your way, Dennis, Representative Kucinich, it's the only way long-term to defeat al-Qaeda in the so-called war on terror is by, first of all, establishing a Department of Peace, by greatly expanding our Peace Corps. There should be tons of Peace Corps volunteers in Afghanistan right now, protected by what they used to call the other war in Vietnam, sir. And I God bless you for being a decent and patriotic American, a truly patriotic American. If people would listen to you, then my nephews and nieces and Mike's kids and grandkids and their grandkids won't have to be fighting a war without end, which seems to be what this elected, quote-unquote, junta in Washington wants.
What about that? Brian, thank you. What about that Department of Peace? Talk about that for a second, Dennis, if you would.
Sure. The whole idea of a Department of Peace is this, that we can make nonviolence an organizing principle in our society through education, through working with community groups, non-governmental organizations, backed up by the government at a cabinet-level position. The Department of Peace will work on and provide the resources to deal with the problems within our homes, where families need help in dealing with domestic violence and spousal abuse, child abuse. Look, the place to deal with domestic violence isn't in the emergency room, isn't at a... Remember the story? I mean, I remember the story about the children in Japan, in Minamata,
right?
And the poisoning that took place and the devastation that mothers felt when they watched their children waste away. So I want to address this in a broad spectrum. My universal single payer health care program would provide for early testing so that you could intercept the disease at its inception and treat it. Strong enforcement of environmental laws will also mean that industries cannot be permitted to pollute the air and the water. Public health, epidemiological studies, starts to look at, you know, where the incidence is, and then you can start tracking it down and look at you know, wherever industries are exceeding the total maximum daily load of a certain pollution, they can be stopped from operating. We need to have 21st century thinking about our economy where we're not tied to this thinking that says that somehow pollution is a sign of economic progress. My God, it's ended up being exactly the opposite. It's ended up being debilitating. It ends up extracting a cost in terms of human health that has a long-term effect that ends up being a transfer of wealth, your health,
right,
to those who are doing the polluting.
Cecilia, thanks. I get the clear understanding, Dennis, that you would restore, if not reinvigorate, the Environmental Protection Agency. I think these...
More than that, Mike, I would have an environmental...
Yeah, I have one to begin with. Food and Drug Administration, Environmental Protection Agency. I think what the Bush administration has done to these agencies is just astonishingly dangerous. John is... wait a minute, that's not John. Here's John is calling from Akron, Ohio. John. I wish he could have stayed. I would love to have Kucinich on for what, Kathy? For all 3 hours. It's very frustrating, I know, for those of you and me that have questions that you would like to get this candidate to answer. But every time I hear what he has to say, it just I'm astonished that the Democratic Party has any doubts about who this party's candidate or nominee for president should be. It's astonishing to me. But then again, I'm a Kucinich supporter, right? So, of course, I would have that opinion. And I've said before, if Dennis Kucinich is not the nominee, whoever the Democratic nominee is, I will be supporting him. We have a break coming up, and then we'll come back to your phone calls. For those of you who wanted to ask Dennis questions, I'm sorry. His campaign coordinator was in here going, "We gotta go! We gotta go! We gotta go!" Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Carl, hey Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, I've been wanting to talk to you last week, but I've been putting it off and putting it off.
Uh-oh. Do I owe you money?
What I was going to talk about was the military thing, but before I get to that, it's a word that we all need to reassociate ourselves with. It's called obfuscation.
Yeah, okay. I like that word. That's one of those $4 words, isn't it? Obfuscation.
You know, when you got clear water, you throw mud in it to make it murky.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't figure out, well, what's the, you know, the major thing that you're trying to, you know, the most important thing, you can't see it.
Right.
And we got a lot of that going on right now.
Oh man, this is funnier than Nixon when Nixon was caught. Bush has been caught. He's been caught on the economy. He's been caught on the war. He's been caught on the 9-1-1 thing, and now he's been caught on his so-called military record. This is almost fun to watch, except for the fact that the country's at stake. Carl, let me put you on hold. You hear the music. Got to take a break. We'll come back. Stay with us, folks. I'm Mike Malloy.
In December, a month after obstetrician gynecologist Cassie Hammond, a member of Northwestern's staff and medical school faculty, was served with subpoenas seeking his patient records. The American Civil Liberties Union is representing the National Abortion Federation, Planned Parenthood, and the Center for Reproductive Rights, which are all filing challenges to the law.
More after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country, with a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities. It's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. visit your local refuge.
Elko, Nevada police arrested Roger Gray, 25, on the basis of yellow snow he left after relieving himself on the rooftop of a restaurant that had been burglarized. Investigators said the evidence produced enough DNA to link Gray to the scene. He subsequently admitted a jewelry store burglary, police said. He was booked Friday for investigation of burglary. Bail was set at $5,000. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
George Pinocchio Bush was at it again in his latest State of the Union peroration, and his biggest lie was not about weapons of mass destruction. Bush tried in his speech to diffuse the growing anxiety and anger about the loss of middle-class jobs by making the bald-faced assertion that the solution is simple: more job training. Millions of unemployed and underemployed Americans must have stared in slack-jawed disbelief as this son of privilege mouthed the corporate line that everything is okay with our economy if only the workers would get more training and improve their skills. Training for what? Here came George's whopper. Much of our job growth will be found in high-skilled fields. That's a lie, and Bush knows it. Well, okay, he's clueless about real life, so he probably doesn't know it, but his speechwriters do. Bush's own Labor Department reports that of the 30 occupations that will account for the highest job growth between now and 2010, two-thirds require minimal skills. Yes, high-tech companies will create 284,000 more jobs for computer software engineers in that period, but many more jobs than that will be created in each of these very low-tech fields: freight movers, home health aides, janitors, waitresses, security guards, office clerks, and cashiers. The number one job creator for America's future? Restaurant workers, including fast food. You don't need a high-tech degree, you need a hairnet. And all of these jobs pay pitiful wages. By the way, for the past 3 years, Bush has cut the job training budget. And forget about those software engineering jobs. Companies are now shipping them off to India, Russia, and other low-wage countries. This is Jim Hightower saying, training doesn't create jobs, and low-wage jobs don't create a middle class. America needs a living wage, labor law reform, an end to subsidies for corporations that ship our good jobs out, and a president who has a clue.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Before we go back to Carl, Southside Carl in Chicago, this email from Diane of Riverside, Indiana, I guess. Yeah. Does it occur to you, Mike, that if Jesus did return, he would be saying much or many of the same things that Dennis says? Department of Peace, lifting people up to reach their full potential, healing bodies, healing spirits, and so forth. Does it surprise you at all that the biggest liar, killer, raper of democracy, defiler of all that is good and honorable, is backed by the true believers? Leave it to the Christians, and they will be sure to totally reject another honorable human being who has lost, who has the best interests of the world in mind. Yeah, well, in fairness, so it's not just these Christian fundamentalists, although that's something I could never, ever, ever, forever, if I live to be 1,000, figure out. People who claim to be Christian, who back George Bush, who back Dick Cheney, who believe in war, who support the death penalty, who support, like Pat Robertson, the absolute destruction of the world's resources. I can't figure that out. That's why I jump hard on fundamentalist Christians so often. I really don't like them because they are hypocrites. And as Diane points out, if Jesus were to come back, I think he would pick up the nearest AK-47 and just wipe these people out. Well, no, I guess not, because he's Jesus. He wouldn't do that. But maybe some of his avenging angels would. Have I mentioned tonight how much I hate these people? I hate hypocrites, I think, worse. Three classes of people I hate: hypocrites, liars, and sneaks. And, oh, man, George Bush fits into that, all three of those categories very neatly, with no room for daylight to get in. And so do 99.9% of fundamentalist Christians. They are liars, they are hypocrites, they are deceivers, and they are sneaks. And they practice their weird, bloody, false form of Christianity as an attempt to somehow sneak in the back door of heaven. They just make me sick. They just make me sick. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on a rant. Now, back to Southside Carl in Chicago. Carl, thanks for holding on.
Yeah, I'll probably be holding. AP is reporting that Clark is dropping out.
Well, no surprise there. I really don't understand why Wesley Clark was in the race to begin with. He was an imaginary a knight in shining armor for Democrats who wanted somebody who could withstand the assault from the Republicans, that the Democrats are soft on defense or whatever. But Wesley Clark, really, in my opinion, had no business being in a political race. If Wesley Clark wants to spend the next couple of years figuring out the American political system and really determining where his political alliances lie or feelings lie, fine. Let him come back. Let him run for Congress or the Senate someplace and then take another stab at it. But I could never figure out why Clark got into it.
Yeah, now back to office.
So we've gone from 10 or 11 down. We're down to 5 now, right? 5 candidates.
Yeah. To cut through all of this, though.
Horse hockey.
The 9/11 commission, basically. You don't know. You know Bush supposedly to avoid the subpoenas said, well, he's going to give them documents.
Yeah, right.
But they're going to be redacted. Okay.
Sure. wouldn't you like to redact him?
Yeah, but you know, there's a way of getting around all of this stuff, though.
Yeah, how's that?
Well, if you on that, say like the 9/11 commission, you just bring some people in and put them under oath, and you ask the question that you know you've got a good idea what it is anyway. Like, did you receive warnings about September 11th prior to September 11th?
Well, do you know for a fact, Carl, whether or not this commission has subpoena power?
Well, that's, I think that they do. If they have subpoena power
For people. Maybe there's no difference. If you have subpoena power, you have subpoena power,
yeah.
Whether it's for documents or people. I don't know either. Yeah.
And then the thing on this one, the other one that he just appointed to look into the intelligence thing,
mm-hmm.
Well, there's no need for all this time in this big wide scope. You know, you just, hey, look, you guys said certain definitive facts.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the proof of these definitive facts that you based your statement on?
Too simple. Too simple. Come on, too simple. Like they're still all looking under rocks and beds and behind lampposts to see if they can find the person who outed Valerie Plame.
Why can't we just cut to the chase?
Now, come on, Carl.
Now, and then, you know, you got this idiot Sunday doing the interview.
Who?
This idiot Sunday doing his interview.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he's going to say, well, hey, I'm a war president. Now, you know, this is what... There wouldn't have been a thing about this military thing with me because Carter pardoned everyone.
Right.
Okay, and it wouldn't have been a thing.
Right.
What made a difference, though, is that, well, this guy was a coward. And what it shows that he's a coward by what he's doing now.
I'm a war president.
He ducked out of the way.
Right.
When people were dying.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I'm a war president.
Right.
Hey, I'm a war hero. You know, plus he assumed that, well, he served honorably. The evaluations that they do have is showing that he just got above the minimum.
And apparently was consigned to a disciplinary...
was suspended.
Unit just to keep track of his worthless ass. This guy has more blood on him, Carl, from executions as the governor of Texas, executing innocent people. And you know as well as I do that of those people executed on his watch, a certain percentage were innocent. Look what happened in Illinois. He's got that blood. He's drenched in blood. This guy is a killer and a murderer, except when it comes to his turn to pick up a weapon and go take his chances up against the enemy. Oh, no, he'll do anything he can, just like all these Republicans. They are cowards. Every last one of them is a coward.
Well, you know, we need to stop pretending that, what they were doing when they decided to go to the National Guard. They were ducking it. I mean,
back in the 60s, that's true. It's not true anymore. You go to National Guard now,
but
they'll ship your ass to Iraq.
Sunday, though, he tried to make it like the two periods were the same. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here it is now. We got people over there serving this active, duty and reserves who are finished with their tours, with their thing, but they can't get out.
They can't
get out.
They're
being
held
over.
Lockdown. That's called in a different age, we used to call that slavery. Carl, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right, Mike.
All right, so I appreciate your call. Yeah, we've said it before. I'm actually tired of saying it, tired of talking about it. Bush is, he's just a killer. That's all. As long as he can do it without actually getting his hands bloody, literally bloody. You know, he wouldn't go to the death house in Austin, Texas and pull the switch. He wouldn't fly an airplane with missiles and launch them to kill people. He wouldn't drop napalm. He wouldn't pick up a weapon and go to Iraq. But he'll consign other people to do it, or order other people to do it, or hide so that other people have to do it, or jump over a list. I said earlier tonight, 50 people he jumped over to get into Texas Air National Guard, and I got two emails saying, no, it was more like 500 people that were waiting patiently for their chance to duck out of hot military service in Southeast Asia. But Bush is like most of these Republican politicians. They are cowards, and not because they avoided service in Vietnam. They just are cowards, period. And they're also killers because they have no problem with sending other people to die and then come up with these phony-ass statements. I just want every mom and dad and husband and wife that's lost somebody in Iraq to know that their husband, their father, their brother, their son is a hero. Just makes me want to break stuff. Tony is calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Hey, Tony.
Mike.
Tony.
I've been wanting to call you since last week.
Here you are.
Last Friday night, when you played that tape from the Democratic Convention back in 2000.
Oh, Bill Clinton, yeah.
That was scary.
Yeah.
It was positively frightening. And when, as you were playing it, I was like, "Oh my God!
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God!
Mm-hmm.
This is almost, I'm wondering if now. See, this is the thing with Bill Clinton. I don't know that he didn't write that speech.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
You know, because of course Bush. You know, we know he doesn't
mm-hmm.
write any speeches.
Right.
I mean, anything
well, he can't
over,
write.
You know, anything over one syllable, forget it.
Right.
Not going to happen. But it was just so good
mm-hmm.
And as I sat there and I listened to him speak, it made me really miss being able to say, my president
is an intelligent man.
And remember how these sons of bitches in the Bush crime family said, it's time to bring adults back to Washington. Look what these punks have done. Look what these destroyers of American democracy have done. God, I hate these people.
And you know, it is completely, completely understood. And I think more and more Americans, even those who don't pay attention to anything except for, you know, the stupid TV stuff, mm-hmm. is starting to actually pay attention to this.
I hope.
And I think there's hope just for that reason. As I was sitting there, listening to all these callers tonight, and such a diverse group of people calling in,
mm-hmm.
I'm really starting to feel better and better about our chances. But there's a couple of things I really did want to talk about. One of them was the No Child Left Behind. Now, you remember, I teach here in Illinois.
Right.
And I just saw on the AP, on the wire, that Utah, the state of Utah, is going to ignore, they voted to ignore many of the mandates of the No Child Left Behind legislation because they
realize what a scam it is. Even Republican conservative Mormons in Utah,
that's right,
have figured it out. Like this is asinine. We want no part of this.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Right. They're going to give up all that Title I or whatever it is, Title 10, what is it, Kathy? They're going to be giving up an awful lot of a revenue that normally would come to the state. But what they have realized, you see, Republicans are liars. You know, all this talk about, well, local control for the schools, and here the Bush crime family comes in with this psychopathic failure. Rod Page is Department of Secretary of Education.
Yeah.
And they want to control everything in Washington. These are the people who have been saying all during the Clinton years, well, too much control in Washington. Hey, hold on a second. I got to do a break here, Tony. We'll come back and we'll finish this up on the other side of the break.
Alpha male. I come from Texas. Texas. Texas, 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 Texas. I come from Texas. Texas. Texas, 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 Texas. The new Prime Minister of India is, no. Mass destruction. Mass destruction. Mass destruction.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine.
and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of Ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. News flash from Robert here. According to CNN, Wesley Clark has dropped out of the race for the nomination. So I guess it's official now. Back to Tony calling from Waukegan, our history teacher, right?
No. Chemistry teacher.
That's right. I'm sorry. Chemistry. Well,
no, that's okay.
They both end in a Y. So.
Yeah, that's all right. I tried to teach a little bit of science history. It's funny because Dennis was talking about Minamata Bay, Japan.
Yeah, and, the mercury poisoning. I remember seeing those pictures. I believe it was in Life magazine because that happened years ago. Back in the late 60s or 70s.
Early 70s.
Those were some of the most frightening photographs. And I hate to say this because it's not the PC thing to say, but those photographs were true art. The shocking horror of seeing those mothers holding those children, the way the photographer, and I forget who the photographer was, the way those shots were framed, they were like artwork from something put together by Hieronymus Bosch or just some horrible dimension where pain and suffering and death and disease, and all because of the dumping of mercury into that bay. What was the name of the bay?
Minamata Bay.
Minamata Bay and the people who ate the seafood from there, and I'm a great seafood lover, and it just freaks me out. If I eat ocean salmon now, I'm setting myself up for mercury. I will never eat farm salmon because then you get PCBs and poisons of all sorts. I don't know what the hell we're going to do. A Dennis Kucinich presidency would I think restore some kind of sanity, something somewhere.
Well,
but anyway, where were we? You were holding on, and we're back.
Yeah. Well, you know, I said I needed to say about the No Child Left Behind thing. I'm just glad to see that even Republicans. Now, this is a telling tale. Even Republicans, state level, legislature level Republicans,
mm-hmm.
recognize how foolish and stupid this whole No Child Left Behind thing is. Even they, as you said before, out in ultra-conservative Mormon country,
mm-hmm.
can recognize what a terrible tragedy in the making this No Child Left Behind is. And if they can recognize it, well, why the hell can't everybody else? But, of course, I think it will over time.
It's well, it was sold. It was sold into the so-called inner cities first, where education is crappy, usually because there's not enough money to educate. So that's where the early support for this came from. That's A. B, the whole idea behind this from these Bushites was to destroy the concept of public education.
Oh, yeah.
Utterly annihilate it. Let the churches educate. Let there be homeschooling, but destroy once and for all public education, because that's where kids learn stuff like evolution or natural selection or science. That's where they get interested in biology and chemistry, and we can't have that because then little bastards will be talking about stem cell research, and we can't have that. So destroy public education. That's what No Child Left Behind is about.
Well, you know what? As I think about that Minamata Bay story, I'll tell you some of the reactions that my kids had at school. Now, I teach high school, so my kids are 16 through 18.
Okay, quickly. We're running out of time here, Tony.
Okay, and they said basically they couldn't believe it. Why couldn't they see it on CNN? Why haven't they heard about this?
Right, right.
And I just told them, look, you're not going to hear some of this. You got to search for it.
And you told them that this all occurred before CNN, when Ted Turner was still running a billboard company.
Well, not the Minamata Bay itself, but, of course, with the new EPA stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know, Bush cutting back on all that and all.
It's just incredible. Well, that's your job to educate them. I know you will, since you teach chemistry. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
People often underestimate the power of nature. That mistake can cost them their lives. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. An avalanche, a rushing river, and an ocean rip current have this much in common. They're among the forces of nature that people often underestimate. That can mean serious injury or death during outdoor recreation activities. Lawrence Gonzalez is the author of a new book called Deep Survival: Who Lives, Who Dies, and Why.
One of the things that I've learned in researching deep survival is we don't really learn things that we don't have direct physical experience of. The abstract learning that we get, even if somebody tells you, hey, don't go over there, that's dangerous, you may go over there because you've never actually experienced the force.
Gonzalez says it's a common mistake, one that leads us to underestimate the energy of natural systems.
A typical example of this is kids come to a stream, decide to wade across it, and they just don't appreciate how heavy and powerful water is. And they get in water that should be, they think, wadeable, up to their knees maybe, and they're swept away. We just really don't appreciate how powerful some of these natural forces can be.
Gonzalez says people not only misjudge the forces of nature, they overestimate their own abilities.
An avalanche is a good example. Lots of skiers say that they could outrun an avalanche, and they're wrong. An avalanche can travel at as much as 150 miles an hour.
Deep Survival describes a variety of outdoor accidents where miscalculation cost people their lives. Gonzalez says it's important to accurately assess the forces you'll encounter during any kind of expedition, and he says you should also be humble and accept that nature is more powerful than you. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
Might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Teach your children well. Their fathers hell did slowly go by and thee.
1994, there were 67 schools in Texas that were rated exemplary according to our own tests.
Which all turned out to be lies. Turned out to all be lies. George, check with Rod Page, former Houston school superintendent. Now you're head of your Department of Education. Ask Rod about it. George, all lies. Ron is calling from Dallas. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
It's going fine, sir. How are you?
I was really enjoying your show.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to say I feel like that America will never heal or solve the problem of terrorism until they understand what causes terrorism. And it never ceases to amaze me how George Bush and Dick Cheney have managed to convince America and all the Democratic candidates and everybody that we can spend and kill our way to homeland security.
Yeah, really.
And they've got everybody living in fear and believing that, you know, there's a military solution to this. And but it amazes me how that people believe that they believe George Bush when they say, well, the reason they attack us is because they hate our freedom. You know, they hate our way of life.
Mm-hmm.
They hate our hot dogs, our Chevrolets, you know.
Right. So what,
this is what I wanted to say, is the fact is that every time the terrorists have attacked us, including New York City, their message is the same every time. They don't waver. It's not two or three different things. It's always the same thing. The reasons the terrorists attack and hate us is because our Congress finances Israel's illegal occupation and war on Palestine. Until the American people face this reality, we'll never solve the problem. We'll still be electing Democratic candidates who are promising to fund Homeland Security and go kill the terrorists. And, you know, our budget is trillions of dollars, a defense budget. Al-Qaeda spends less than 0.1% of our budget on their affairs, and they've got us running scared to death. We're living in fear like a bunch of mongrels. So all I'm saying is I'm tired of the attitude in America that you're labeled as anti-Semitic if you stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, the terrorists are attacking it. Why don't we listen to why they're attacking us?
Right.
They're attacking us because we finance Israel's illegal occupation of Palestine. And they tell us every single time. It's the same thing. But everybody ignores that. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. It makes me sick to my stomach.
Well, you're absolutely right. Ron, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. You're absolutely right about how nobody will discuss that honestly, that whole issue. We have danced around it on this program. I used to talk about it all the time. When I worked at a radio station here in Atlanta, when I worked at a radio station in Chicago, I used to bring it up all the time. And used to get enough, Ron said, used to get enough letters, and then eventually when the technology came about, emails accusing me of being anti-Semitic. Which it just shocks me, you know, to be accused of being anti-Semitic, because anybody can understand who studies the history of the Middle East, and you don't have to go back 2,000 or 5,000 or 20,000 years. Just go back to the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948 and look at the atrocities committed on both sides of this. It's astonishing how one-sided every single administration in the United States has been, starting with Harry Truman,
with the establishment of the State of Israel up to the present time, it's astonishing to me how Christian fundamentalists in this country have polluted the argument and discussion, not from a political point of view, but from their sick religious point of view, that somehow Israelis equal Jews, and because it is a Jewish nation, we have to support it if we are a Christian nation, and how willing the Israeli politicians have been to accept that support. And they're not stupid, knowing full well that American Christian fundamentalists, if it ever comes to the confrontation, as these freaks believe is predicted in the book of Revelation, the Jews will be given a chance to give up their religion and convert to Christianity. And if they do not, they will be butchered on the spot, executed by the Christian fundamentalists. So, the whole thing is so sick to me. Was astonishing. The intifada that began about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, is just astonishing. The wall that's being built across the occupied territories is just unbelievable. The war criminal record of, they talk about Arafat. Take a look at Sharon. I mean, this guy is a butcher. This guy is an absolute murderer. And I think so many people in Israel understand that. But given their parliamentary system, there's not a whole lot they can and the coalitions that are put together to keep in power, there's not too much that the peacenik parties in so-called in Israel, not too much they can do about it. On the other side of the equation, the suicide bombings and the atrocities that have been committed against Jewish citizens, Israeli citizens, it's horrifying to me. Now, I've had people on who say, well, Mike, but you see, there's no such thing as an Israeli civilian because every Israeli has a military obligation from age 18 to age 45 or whatever it is. That argument's a little bit too esoteric for me. Blowing up buses, blowing up civilians, whether it's done by suicide bombers who are Palestinian or Israeli defense forces going into Jenin or some of these refugee camps indiscriminately killing people. The whole thing to me is sick. I'm almost at the point of saying a pox on both their houses. I don't, because I understand that there has to be eventually justice. There has to be. That's the hope. Let me retract it. I'm not saying there has to be. There's a damn good chance there never will be. But the hope is that somehow, some way, through all this slaughter, justice will prevail in that section. But our caller is right. One of the biggest arguments made by the Islamic fundamentalists is the same argument made by the Jewish fundamentalists or the Christian fundamentalists around other issues. The Islamic fundamentalists say, well, you have... you support corrupt governments, governments that suppress us, governments like the one in Algeria, governments like the one in Saudi Arabia, governments like the one in Iraq, governments, you just go down the list. Governments that would arguably would not be in existence in these Islamic countries were it not for U.S. support. Pakistan is another example. And the other argument is that we have infidels. We have American troops. We did for years in Saudi Arabia, in areas considered by the Islamists to be a sacred ground, and it's a defilement to have foreign armed troops in these holy places. So the thing goes on and on. I condemn all religions to begin with. I think every single religion is a farce. It's ludicrous. It's taking mythology and elevating it to a reason to die, a reason to kill. I simply hate religion, all religions. Do I hate spirituality? No, of course not. Do I hate belief? No, of course not. I said religion, and there is a difference. The contempt, utter contempt, that I have for a Christian fundamentalist is equal to the utter contempt I have for Islamic fundamentalists, which is equal to the utter contempt I have for Jewish fundamentalists. a pox on all their houses. I wish they all would disappear. They're disgusting, and I've said it before, this planet is waist deep in blood because of the killings that have been perpetrated and perpetuated in the name of these phony-ass, disgusting, contemptible religions. What, I cut Ron off too early? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Ron, Kathy has done something she normally doesn't do. She typed on here that you weren't finished, and would I take your call again? Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to say, to understand the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, one needs to understand the international law and what's actually going on here. Of course, killing back and forth, no one wants killing, of course not. But look at it from a legal standpoint, international law. No American president has stood up to Israel and said, hey, you need to comply with the stack of U.N. resolutions that's been ordering you out of Palestine for the past 36 years.
Right, I understand.
So according to international law, now this is a very unpopular view, and you never hear it on TV, and people hate me for saying this, but it's true. The Palestinians have every legal authority under the Convention Rules of War to use any means necessary to evict the illegal occupiers from their land.
Well,
Israel is at fault.
Ron, I understand and can agree with that on an emotional level, but where your argument breaks down is that the State of Israel was established by an act by the United Nations, and based on international law. While I have great sympathy for the Palestinian side, and I do believe that the Palestinians have been raped and brutalized and their land taken from them, I don't think they have an absolute right under international law to resist to the extent...
Oh, yes, they do. You're wrong. You need to check about that, Mike.
Wait. Hold on just a second, Ron. To the extent of blowing up civilians, there are very clear-cut rules where it concerns the protections that need to be afforded to civilians. And whether there were rules written about that or not is immaterial to me. As far as I'm concerned, anyone, I don't care what the cause is, to kill innocent civilians because as an act of terror, to me, is simply not allowable.
Why can't we just follow the law? George Bush stood on TV every day, every 5 minutes, and demanded that Saddam comply with the UN resolutions. With the UN resolutions.
I hear
There's not a UN resolution ordering Palestine out of Israel. There's over 100 UN resolutions ordering Israel out of Palestine.
I understand.
Why can't we have a candidate who's willing to stand up demand that Israel comply with the law, or else we threaten to cut them off funding? Why keep giving? We give over four times the amount of all to Israel, all the other nations combined. For what, for God's sake?
Okay, I got you. Ron, I want to move on now. I hear what you're saying. You make good points. They're points I have made for 18 years in radio, and I understand. I have no answers for you. You have no answers. As long as there is, how to phrase this? This is almost an insoluble problem, because there never is going to be an American president who will put it into an either-or situation, as you're suggesting. Either Israel recognizes and respects these UN resolutions, or we will cut off aid. That's never going to happen. Not in our lifetimes. So I appreciate your insights and your comments. I really do. But I just don't know how to address that issue. We can sit here and go round and round and round all night. And I just choose not to do that. That's one of those issues that, again, to me is insoluble. There is no solution. There have been attempts made by Israelis of good faith and Palestinians of good faith, but there are factions on both sides who do not want to see a resolution, a peaceful resolution. That just happens to be a fact. Should the Palestinians continue to resist? You can make an argument that they should. Should they have resisted in 1948? You can make an argument that they should have. Should the world have responded to the slaughter of the Jews in the 30s and 40s? You can make an argument that they should have. I mean, we can go back and on and forward and back and round like a snake devouring itself or a dog chasing its own tail. I honestly believe. I have Jewish friends. I have Palestinian Islamist friends. I have Palestinian Christian friends. And I will tell you with fear and trembling and humility in saying this, this is a situation that will never, ever, ever, ever be resolved. It simply will not. The butchery will go on and on and on and on. I hate that topic. I just hate it. Rick is calling from Seattle. Rick, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Rick.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point I was calling about was nobody seems to have brought up the parallel that seems to exist between George Sr. and George Jr. here in the sense of invading sovereign countries.
Okay, you do.
And I mean the invasion of Panama.
Right.
Where approximately 2,500 Panamanians were killed during mm-hmm. the invasion, the removal of Noriega, and then George Jr., who happens to be the only qualified person in the United States to be president 8 years after his father was president, and invading Iraq
right.
to remove now, as he says, to remove Saddam.
Another Bush family ally that served their purpose and had to be removed.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Just
both
like
of
Noriega,
them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And another quick thing, a comment that Kissinger made back in the Ford administration
okay.
concerning Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
He said that Rumsfeld... And for Kissinger to say this is really something, that Rumsfeld was the most ruthless individual that he had ever known.
I remember that quote, yes. Yeah.
Anyway, I have some other points, but I guess that's it for tonight.
Okay, thanks, Rick.
Okay.
All right, sir, I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening. Quick break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds.
pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Hey, we're just about out of time tonight. DJ is calling from Marion, Ohio. DJ, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I just calling in to let you know that I appreciate what you're doing for the American people, and that I strongly agree with your views. And I was beginning to think, because I'm in the middle of Bush country here in Ohio, that I was the only one this side of Mississippi that had these views. And then I started listening to your show, actually, on Monday night, and I just thought, wow, this man is amazing. And the fact that you backed Dennis J. Kucinich just was the tip of the iceberg for me.
Well, I'm glad you found the program, although I guess you know we have 13 shows left, and then we're this network's going out of business, which means I don't know where I'm going to wind up, but did you know that, DJ?
Yeah, I heard that last night, and that troubles me because, you know,
All right. Well, we've still got,
I mean,
you know, we got.
Republicans have Rush Limbaugh and everything, but.
Well, we got three more programs this week, and then five the next week, and five the week after that, unless the plug is pulled sooner. So stick around for those, and we will be posting at MikeMalloy.com.
Oh, I'll be sure to check it. It's
where we're going
to. I visit
up.
That every day. I found your site on Democratic Underground.
Democratic Underground. Hello? Where'd he go? Kathy, what'd you do with DJ? All right, DJ has faded. DJ, if you can hear me, apparently your cell phone or whatever you were calling me on just died. Thanks again to Democratic Underground for we have had so many, literally hundreds, if not thousands, of listeners come via Democratic Underground over the past 3 years. It's just astonishing. Other sources too. Yeah, Bart Cop is another one. But I have to say, as much as I love Bart Cop like a brother, Democratic Underground. I've said it before. It's the best website out there. For a number of reasons, but not the least of which is because they've sent so many listeners to this program. Oh, God. That's right. Finish up on a self-serving note tonight, Malloy. That'll be good. Right. Program produced tonight by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Check it out, MikeMalloy.com. He is the CEO of MaximumInteractive.com. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief, without whose assistance I don't know what the hell we would play. And Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent who provides the huge bulk of your articles, stories that you hear on this program. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9.